All right. Welcome to the Comic Gamble, episode 26. Just because I renumbered it last episode.
Yeah, without telling me.
That's right.
26.
That's right, NamTab. Actually, I didn't count some interviews and a couple of...
Our listeners have no idea what's going
on
anymore.
They don't give a shit to either of it. That's fine. Once again, the whole gang is here, including myself. Say hi, Josh, Kyle, and Anthony.
Bet you guys missed me.
Yeah, we did.
Imagine. Hello, I am here.
Oh, I just blew coffee up my nose, thanks. Oh, that hurts. My eyes are watering. Oh, my nose. So anyways, welcome to our fan cast, because, you know, we're fans. It's a podcast. I've seen a lot of bitching on the internet lately about people like, these guys who are reviewing comics, they're not reviewing comics, they're just giving you their opinion, and if they liked it, then you should buy it, and if they didn't like it, they should buy it. And in my opinion...
Isn't that what the whole point of reviewing is, giving your opinion on it?
Sort of. I also... My opinion on that is you want to find somebody who's got similar opinions to you. Do you know what I mean?
Yep.
So, I don't know. I'm going to refer to it as Fancast from now on, because I just want to talk about comics with other people who read comics. Who actually read the same comics, mostly.
You know? Huh. With the exception of me.
No, actually, we read some of the same comics. Don't be all like that. Except for the Ninja Turtles. That was a good one. Okay. So, yeah, disclaimer out of the way. I'll go first because you guys sound so fucking excited today. And I'm gonna blow Anthony's mind, man. And I'm picking Fatale.
I've not read it.
I'm picking 13, 14, 15, and 16 because they were all just awesome. They were almost like one-shots. Of Fatale, whatever this girl's name is. I don't think they've actually said her name. She's had a few different names, right?
Her name's Josephine.
Josephine, is that it? Yeah, that's what they're for.
Yeah, but some of the one-shots, it's different girls in some of the issues. It depends, like, the World War II one is Josephine.
Right.
I think the Western one is a different girl, though.
You think it's a different girl? I think it's the same girl. She's just...
Well, she looks the same, but I'm sure her name's different. But she is kind of like this ageless character, so it could be the same girl.
I'm assuming it's an immortal woman.
Yeah.
I think one of the... I don't know if you read the last issue. I think this was the one where she met an old wizard. It was pretty good. If you haven't read it, I won't ruin it for you. Because it's got a good twist at the end. I didn't see it coming. I was like, what? Anyways, very much appreciating Sean Phillips' art now.
Oh, it's
good. It is, man. It so suits it. I'm looking forward to Velvet when it starts, because another Ed Brubaker book.
Yeah.
I'm loving his image stuff. It's stunning, man. I don't know. What else can you say about this? These read really good in trade, so I highly recommend the trade route, especially from the start.
I'm going to have to do that.
Man, it's kind of cool. Yeah, it's very, very noir with a supernatural element. And it's not much for blood and guts, though, so I don't know why the fuck I like it that much. But I do. I very much enjoy it. Last Wednesday, I got caught up on everything, and I was reading the Fatales last, and blew my mind. I was like, "Now that was a good Wednesday." So yeah, and I'm gonna rate that. I give it a 6 because it reads better in trade than it does from month to month.
Yeah, I read it month to month, and it's quite, because the story keeps getting bigger, so sometimes it can be confusing, but I reread it all recently, and I think I understand it a bit more.
Yeah, that helps. I might do that much.
Yeah, because it jumps through time a lot as well. Like, one minute it'll be the 90s, and it'll be the 60s and the 70s, and then, it's Western America, and now we're in World War II. Well, I mean, that's kind of what I love about it, though. Like, it's so, like, dense like that, and it's just so much, it's just rich with, like, story and all that stuff. It's just,
it's many layered,
brilliant.
Many layered. It comes from both the art and the writing, and that's what I really appreciate about that book.
What issue is it on?
16. Okay. Was the last issue I got. I think the first trade is the first 5, right?
Yes.
I think there are 5 issue arcs.
Okay.
So, yeah, man, if you want, check it out. I recommend.
I've been meaning to check it out for a couple months and just haven't gotten around to it.
This is one of those things that Anthony and I think who else, Dylan and Earl, maybe not Earl, but a couple of people have been telling me, no, it was Wesley, that's it. They're like, you got to check this out, this Casanova and what's the other one? Criminal. That's Matt Fraction's stuff, isn't it?
Criminal's great as well.
Now, what's the bread?
Casanova's Matt Fraction, and Criminal is Brubaker and Phillips.
So I was kind of looking into getting to something like that because these guys have been touting it so much. And so when Fatale started, I was like, all right, I'll give it a shot. And my comic shop kept putting them in there, and I was like, okay, I'm don't really not reading them. But, you know, then they stacked up. I got to about 6 issues, and I read the first 5, and I was like, oh, shit, I'm going to keep going. This is pretty good. And that's why I say it reads good in trade paperback. And now I'm repeating myself. Josh, your turn. Pow, pow.
All right. I'm ready.
Okay.
I'm
sorry I shot you.
It was, yeah, that was sudden. I wasn't ready for it.
It's just,
Oh, what pick over there? Yeah, say it. I dare you.
Pick something. No. Pick something.
So basically, okay. Scott Snyder is the bomb.
Oh, shit.
He's the best.
Why? Because he direct messages you on Twitter?
Yeah, and I get like half a chub when that happens. So basically, the Wake number 3 was amazing.
Really? I didn't read this.
It was awesome. I mean, it's going to be like we're saying earlier. I think this 10-story arc is going to be awesome in trade. And, you know, basically so far we have these people on this underwater facility and this creature kind of escaped. And Sean Murphy's art in this is just unbelievable. It's kind of, it really adds the whole horror element to the whole story. And I feel like it's just been perfectly paced so far, like with revealing like little bits of information, but like there's just bigger overall questions that you're kind of just like, what the fuck's going on here? This is awesome. And you know, so far, you know, there's this creature that's loose and they're trying to kind of find out about it. And
I know some loose creatures.
And it adds like a whole new element because throughout the issue, there's this creature has this ability to kind of make you like hallucinate and stuff. So as you're reading, you're like, okay, what the fuck is this? Is this like real life or is it a hallucination? So it's kind of like really messing with you throughout the issue. And you know, towards the end, you get this kind of looks like an attack upon the whole facility, but the way that the issue had gone up to this point, you're not sure if they're really being attacked or if it's just kind of like a hallucination. So I'm really interested to see where the story is going. I was a little disappointed with the second issue, but this third issue's kind of, you know, brought the story back full circle. So
hence,
I'm looking forward to it.
Hence the trade remark. I get that. Some of these things are just starting too slow, man. Like
yeah.
Back in the day, if it didn't grab you at number one, what the fuck? You know, you didn't bother.
Yeah.
I've been reading The Wake myself. I've been reading it on my iPad, and the first 2 issues I wasn't like very keen on, and I thought I'll give it one more try, like one more issue to try and grab it. And like issue 3 was like really good. It's the best one so far. But I'm reading it on my iPad because I plan on buying. If I enjoy it enough, I'm gonna get the hardcover when it's collected, rather than get it in issues.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
Issue 3 is like really good. I think it is gonna be like kind of slow burn. It's like a underwater monster story.
Yeah,
some similarities to The Thing, I guess, which isn't a bad thing because The Thing's a great movie. But,
true.
You know.
True. Nice.
Yeah, and it would be really interesting to see if they like made this into a movie. I mean, granted, we're only 3 issues in, but just by how cool issue 3 was, I wouldn't mind seeing it on the screen.
So
I've only read.
You've read what?
I read the first issue. I thought it was, you know, all right. I've still got the second one. I've not read it at all, just because I think I'm just not going to bother reading this until it comes out in trade anyway.
Yeah.
Because I've got first 3 of Snyder's American Vampire, which is awesome.
Yes.
But it's one of those things.
Everybody always say it's Snyder's, isn't it? Stephen King's.
It's not.
No, he just helped him with it. Didn't he like co-write the story?
Yeah, first like 5 issues or something.
Okay.
Yeah,
sorry.
You
guys are like, no, motherfucker.
Yeah, I don't think I'd have enjoyed American Vampire as much as I do if I had read it in singles. So, it's, again, it's just one of those things. I'll just wait until it comes out and trade, and I'll probably enjoy it a lot more than that. I am trying to read it in singles.
Yeah.
Sometimes that's what, you know, like, if you buy enough comics like me, you just let stuff stack.
Yeah.
It can happen.
Or it kind of like blurs together sometimes.
That happens a lot, let me tell you.
That's why you need recap pages, I keep saying.
Yeah, I
really don't read them. Sometimes I don't read them, but they're just handy to have.
Yeah, man. Sometimes you don't have to. Sometimes you do.
Yeah, yeah.
Like what the hell happened last month. Anyways. All right, so you guys were all kind of into it. You want to throw out some ratings there? Best of the set.
I'm going to say 6 out of 7. Six.
I'd say that's fair.
Yeah. There we go. I guess that makes it Kyle's turn. He's next on the screen.
Yay!
Yay!
Yeah. Well, let's see. I'm going to go with Batman Inc. 13.
Oh, boy.
The epic conclusion to Grant Morrison, the one to wrap it all up. Grant Morrison, the god of Batman.
Oh, really? Is it over?
Oh, don't be like that about it. It's a 7-year story and it's finished, so.
Fake fuck, eh?
No, it's just, it's not a lie. I won't really consider myself a Grant Morrison fan. I like his Batman and Robin. I think it's cool. But it's an okay. The series has been all right, especially since I've not read the years and years of it.
You stop moving around, Anthony. Sorry.
It's in it.
Shit. Sorry. Sorry.
But just this as a conclusion to this story. Like, okay, it's all right, but it's the fact that it's. Most overhyped. Oh shit, my words are getting all messed up now. You throw me off. Basically, it's not a spoiler. You can all go to hell. We all expect Damien to come back one day, mm-hmm. right?
Mm-hmm. You better.
This
if enough people
issue,
say it, it might actually happen.
Well, he's back in November in a one shot, but I'm probably not going to read it anyway. Because I prefer the Damien, Robin Damien, not bloody future Batman rubbish. But anyway, it lends to the theory that was said when he died that the Damien that died wasn't the same one that left when he got his back broken in Batman and Robin.
Oh shit! All right.
It could because at the end there's a ton of clones. It's real that there's a ton of clones. Obviously, you had that main guy, which was a clone of Damien as it was. But that goes on to show that. There's a loads of them in his old test tubes, but you know what I mean.
Feature dish.
It's not that like, festering in like these big balls or whatever. But anyway, the issue is basically I try and digress straight away without you trying to make some sort of the implication to something I said. But the issue itself is basically a fight between Talia and Bruce, and for some reason it starts off weird. Because for some reason they're just kissing. They're supposed to be about to brawl, and then they just have some weird kiss, and they just start. It lasts on a bit longer than it should, and then it has Batman being a little prick as usual, being defiant. It's just not. I seriously don't think that this issue was that good. I don't like endings as it is. It's hard to write an ending. To something, I'm fully aware of that, and he doesn't completely cut all ties because we see Ra's al Ghul or Ra's al Ghul, whatever the hell you want to call him at the end, because apparently he's alive now. I don't know.
Oh, it's a way to wrap up loose ends.
It's one of those things where he leaves it open for whoever writes Batman next. Truth. Could be
Tetris.
Or Damien's eventual return.
Because what it is. Like, Batman, like, Grant Morrison needs to, like, wrap up his own story, but at the same time, like, there's still going to be Batman stories after he's done. So it's kind of like Grant Morrison passing the torch on to Scott Snyder in a way, with the open ending to it and the mentioning 0 year at the beginning of it. That's how I read it. Like, kind of like Grant Morrison finishing his Batman and then him moving and then it being, like, kind of the Batman moving into, like, the new 52. Nice. And then Because that's the thing with Grant Morrison's thing as well. The New 52 kind of wrecked it a bit because it's like, we're going to wreck on the whole universe except for everything Batman and Green Lantern. And then, like, all the stuff that did and didn't happen. Like, Final Crisis didn't happen, but then if it didn't happen, Batman didn't kill Darkseid and get sent back in time. So then what happens about Return of Bruce Wayne? And it's just like, DC, just, like, stop fucking around with it. And just, like, the stories.
Good call.
Because... if Damien, again, back to Damien, big, I'm a fanboy, whatever, but Damien's death, basically, there was no shadow, there wasn't any sort of doubt whether Batman Inc. was part of the New 52 or not, because people were still, DC would say that it's part of the New 52, Grant Morrison would say, but people were still doubting whether it was part of the New, actually part of the New 52, but when you kill Damien, and then he's gone from, you see all the other Bat books reacting to it.
Yeah,
this confirmation.
It definitely is part of the New 52, but it's kind of like just Grant Morrison doing his own thing and like not giving a shit what editorial want him to do because he's like Grant Morrison.
Yeah, God, I can't do no wrong, DC God. Yeah.
Well, he's done a lot of successful stories, so you can't really blame DC for giving him a bit of leeway. Mm. He sold them a lot of comics. It's the same with Geoff Johns. So they're just like let Geoff Johns do whatever the hell he wants.
Yeah,
but his name will sell a comic. I'm not saying he's good. I'm just saying he sells comics, so.
Yeah. What were you going to say,
John? I don't know. I was disappointed with it. I mean, I didn't hate it, but it was... I was comparing this final issue to Geoff Johns' final issue of, like, Green Lantern, and that was, like...
That was pretty epic.
The perfect ending, and then this was just... It just left me... unsatisfied.
Yeah, but you got to think Green Lantern was $8, right? $7.
Yeah.
How much was the last issue of Batman Inc.?
Well, that's what I'm saying. Make it an $8 issue. I would have paid for it.
Okay. I wouldn't.
I give him that much credit for not doing overpriced issue.
Yeah. Okay.
Instead of like everyone else, whenever it's the end of a story, oh, we've got to make it $3.99. We've got to make it $4.99. Whatever.
Nice.
So.
Okay. How about a rating?
Yeah, four.
Oh, that's harsh.
That's okay.
I'd say five.
Yeah,
I'd say five because Chris Berman's art in it is amazing.
Really?
Oh, no. I disagree.
It is.
Not a Burnham fan. No. Really not. Mm. I genuinely don't think it's that good. Mm. I prefer Grant Morrison as a writer to Chris Burnham as an artist. So take that as you will.
Okay. Good stuff. Anthony, it's your turn.
I'm going to talk about another Batman comic now.
Fuck you guys, man. That's fine, that's fine.
Yeah. Well, if I'd have gone after Josh, I could have done a nice segue into another Scott Snyder comic, because I want to talk about the Batman Annual number 2.
Oh, boy.
Which I didn't really like that much at all. No. And... Well, I've been looking through it now, and I think maybe it wasn't so bad, but just at the time when I read it, because when the last time they did the annual, and they tied it in with the Night of the Owls, and they introduced Mr. Freeze into the New 52, and it was a really good, like, one-and-done story that also tied in to the story that was currently going on in the main title, if that makes sense. And in this one... they tried to do something similar, I think, with some villain called the Anchoress, and I have no idea if she was in Anarchist.
It's a dude, isn't it?
I don't think it's Anarchist. It's not Anarchist, no, because there's no T in the name.
What?
It's like Anchoress, and it's a woman. Anchoress. It's an old woman.
What does she look like?
Yeah.
She's not wearing a big red hat and a big red suit with an A on it, is she?
She looks like an old lady with black eyes.
Okay.
She doesn't actually look like a generic old lady.
Okay, so she's somebody new.
There's nothing that stands out about her. And she's like this inmate in Arkham Asylum, but she's been in there from like the beginning, and she's kind of been forgotten about over time, because she's not like really a threat to anyone because of like...
She's an old lady.
Yeah, and I don't know, and it says 0 year. In big letters on the front, and there's about two pages that tie into 0 year, which I think is what pissed me off more than anything.
Pages? I felt like it was like one little like bubble of text.
It might have been that, actually. Like, I don't know, because, well, it says, like, zero, yeah, at the top of the page, and then let me try and find it.
Yeah, I mean,
I'll find it now.
I liked how that character, she was kind of interesting, like, with that, but I agree, I was disappointed with it. I'm convinced that Snyder really didn't write much about it.
Yeah, I don't think he did.
And he probably, I did like how he had him...
into zero, yeah, a bit.
It does.
Well, no, that's what I mean. Like, the Scott Snyder probably just
told her
how to tie it into zero, yeah, and that was probably
all. Well, it does say story by. It says story by, and it's written by her.
Who? Who's her?
Marjorie Bennett, I think.
There you go.
Okay.
I can't say names.
Apparently, it's her first comic as well. So,
really?
Which means I shouldn't be too hard on her, but a bad comic is still a bad comic.
I think that Anna Carissa, Ancress, whatever the hell she's called, is just... Oh, there are parts of her dialogue that's just overwritten.
It is quite wordy in parts, and it's not very interesting wordy. The Scott Snyder comics can be wordy at times, but it's usually when he goes into like one of these anecdotes about his father or something. Like, he does quite a lot, but they're usually quite good. And the artwork's quite boring in it as well. The artwork just doesn't jump up at all. But what I will say, what is really nice is the cover. It's got a really pretty cover by Jock with like this dark with Batman sitting in the alley, and he's like a silhouette, and he's like his symbol's blue, which matches the logo at the top, which is quite nice.
Yeah,
the cover's nice. The actual comics a bit shit.
Too many inkers.
Yeah.
Too many people are on the art for this issue.
There's probably 30 changes 2 days before it went to the printer, though.
There's some nice page. I like the camera, like the first page of your Batman in handcuffs. I think I like the way that looks, but then it gets later on in the actual issue itself. Let's flick through, and it's like where Batman's fighting her, and it just turns into a mess.
Really,
it's some of the lines are just too thick compared to the ones earlier on, and everything. It just
there were like four or five pages in there that I did really enjoy, and it was. Early on, when it showed, you know, Batman is going into Arkham, checking himself in, to basically test this new security system. And I'm like, finally, they're, you know, you have these people breaking out all the time. Like, finally, we're going to have, like, it addressed. And it was kind of cool because he would make comments like, all right, you know, Two-Face would do this, you know, Mr. Freeze would do that. Like, and he's kind of thinking, like, putting himself in these villains' minds and how that they would go about breaking out of this system. I thought that was a cool, like, written piece, but overall I was disappointed with it.
I smell a 3.
Oh, I have to rate it, don't I? Yeah, I think 3's fair, yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
And you guys all agree?
Because it's not very often I talk about comics that I don't like.
No doubt, I'm surprised. I'm a little stunned. Flabbergasted.
Well, I tend to avoid stuff I'm not going to like, but I thought, Scott Snyder's name's on it, and the Batman... I think that's what makes it worse. Like, the main Batman title has been as good as it is, that you kind of want the annual to be at the same quality level, and it's just not. Because I thought the first one they did last year, Mr. Freeze, was really good, like I said earlier, and this one, it just wasn't up to the same quality at all. And at $5 as well, you just want more.
All right. So I guess all this Batman speak. Seems to be my turn. I'm going to talk about Flashpoint. Did I talk about this last time? No, I didn't.
Flashpoint?
Yeah, have you guys seen the movie? The Flashpoint movie?
Yes.
You're going to talk about the movie?
I want to talk about the Batman from the Flashpoint movie. And let me tell you why I want to talk about the Batman from the Flashpoint movie.
Okay.
Because he's a hard-drinking, gunslinging, murdering motherfucker, and he's awesome. He's just awesome. He's the baddest Batman I've ever seen. And if I ever wanted to be saved by anybody who had a Batman cowl on, it would be Thomas Wayne. I'm sorry. I'd be a little afraid of him, but that's fine.
He's the best part of that movie.
He's the Punisher in a fucking cape, and it's wicked. I like when he throws she's called Yo-Yo, but it's Harley, I guess. He throws her off a building and Cyborg saves her. And he's like, you trying to kill them all? He's like, you should have let her hit the pavement. I was like, yeah! I really enjoyed that. You know, and the whole, he fried the Flash twice. He was like, you're fucking crazy. But yeah, okay, he takes a swig, flips a switch. I'm like, awesome. And everybody still looks up to him, you know, like he still had that. But he's such a bad dude. I don't know.
Yeah, that is interesting. It's like he's this, I guess, like anti kind of hero.
Very,
you know?
Very like more than a vigilante.
And you have these people, these other quote-unquote heroes that just, like, respect the hell out of him still. Mm-hmm. And just like you would in, like, the normal timeline. And,
well, I don't know. I don't think so. Because, I mean, Bruce Wayne still cries at the end, like, big bitch. But...
hey!
That's my father's favorite part. Hey, what? I enjoyed that movie quite a bit, actually, to be honest. Like, there was a lot of info they tried to pack into there. I enjoyed
it. Yeah. Good. They did really well with
good
it.
Good fight scenes. Especially the Batman gun welding stuff. I love that shit. And my other cool, the other cool thing I thought was, well, I mean, it's straight from the comics, obviously, but my buddy was, he hasn't seen this yet, and he was talking to me about it yesterday. He's like, I was like, this is the best Batman ever. He's like, shut the fuck up. Because he knows I don't really care for Batman. He's like, tell me the story. Yeah. So I told him the story. I'm like, his dad becomes the Batman. His mom becomes the Joker. That's a fucking great, great idea. Like, that came from Azzarello, right?
Yeah.
Like, just pure genius, man. I could read a whole series about these motherfuckers, but, you know. They had to reboot it and put extra lines into everybody's fucking
books. So. Yeah. Oh, yeah.
But, you know, I can't knock the new Batman. I mean, you guys all seem to love it. And I read a few of the first issues, and it's pretty good. I mean, you can't knock Capullo's art.
I love it.
I think when Flashpoint was coming out, my favorite thing about it, it's still my favorite thing, was the three-issue miniseries Azzarello and Eduardo Risso did the Batman miniseries. It's just so good. It was only three issues long, and I could have read more, a lot more than that.
Yeah, man. That's what I'm saying. That's why, I mean, that movie just, it's like watching that. I could never really read that series, but I remember you guys were talking about it, and it sounded cool. But watching it on the cartoon like that, I was like, that's my fucking Batman forever.
Well, it's funny because I like went and reread everything like a month ago from Flashpoint, and then it was like then I found out that was coming out, and I was like really pumped. So it was like still fresh in my head with the comics, and it like it was really well done.
Yeah, not everything's...
Does the movie have Wayne Casino in it with the doesn't the penguin?
No, there's no
it?
Penguin in it, but he's like.
I could have sworn he owns a comic.
There's a comment he makes to the Flash about that.
When he first shows up, the bat plane.
They do a big pan of the city, and there's a whole back of casinos. You can see them; they're all Wayne Casino, Wayne. It's like, oh, okay. And then he throws Harley off a bridge after he tries to shoot her multiple times. Okay, maybe I should pick a comic. I just wanted to comment about the Flashpoint. I didn't pick any Marvel comics this week. I don't know why. Well, you know, Infinity's about to start, and the shit's gonna hit the fan. Don't worry; next time I will be drooling. Avengers style.
Yeah.
What? Anyway.
Dark line. Nothing lasts forever.
That's right. Legend of Luther Strode, issue 6. This is the second arc. And it's another explosive ending. What really, really got my attention is after I got to the end of this, you do find out that there's going to be a third arc, which is, you know, great. I love it. Because it's all about the power of violence and how about using violence as an end of means or something like that. It's better if you read the book. Don't listen to me. I'm just describing it, kind of. The cover, man, is awesome. It looks like he's laying down in a pool of blood, but when you look at it really closely, it's a bunch of little red bodies. It's kind of cool, man. I mean, Trad Moore, you can't knock him. He's got some very hyperkinetic, like he does fight scenes like nobody. Nobody. I mean, you guys read that Batman comic he drew? It was one of the digital ones.
That sounds too violent.
Oh, it was awesome. It's great. It's good stuff. Yeah, it's super bloody, gory, swearing, cursing, chainsaws. Chainsaws. Yeah. It's good, man. I don't know. It's about a guy who finds an article in a comic at the end. I don't know if you guys remember these, but they used to make these, the Hercules. Well, this one's called the Hercules Method. I think we used to have what they called the Atlas books. You could buy a book that would teach you how to build muscle so you could kick sand at bullies' faces at the beach.
Yeah.
Anyway, same kind of thing. So he gets this book, but it turns out that there's a little more to this book than just being a beefcake. He can perceive things that normal people don't. Full muscle control. That's what I got out of it. I mean, the guy gets shot and he can pop them all out, you know? Out come the bullets. Yeah. Good book, man, if you like hyperviolence.
I've read the first volume of it, and this probably isn't going to come as a shock, but I didn't like it.
What? Really? I enjoyed the shit out of it, man.
I enjoy it.
Yeah. I'm going to give it a 7. I mean, that's how much I liked it.
It's a lot better than stuff Matt Miller has done recently. I'll give it that.
Yeah, he was going to write Superboy Justin Jordan. Now he's not. I wonder why.
He did. He wrote it.
Did he?
He wrote. I've got the first one he wrote.
I thought he quit.
I'm sure he wrote like one or two.
You can't even keep track of who's fucking dropping out and staying at DC anymore. It's just...
No, it's just a waste of time even trying.
But yeah, man, I look forward to the third arc when it comes out. Yeah. What else can I say without ruining it? Luther fucking kills everybody. It's awesome. Well, actually, the bad guy kills everybody, then he kills him, so. And his girlfriend, Peacha, who says motherfucker a lot. Wow. So I like her. She's my kind of girl. Anyways, I give it a 7. Next. Josh, it's your turn.
All right, I'm going to talk about another annual issue.
Oh, my God. Not a bat.
And one that was actually really well done. Mm. I mean, you guys know my feeling about Animal Man.
Oh, okay. God damn it. I was going to talk about that.
Oh.
Well, you can all talk about it. Come on. Tell me now.
Yeah, this is a discussion.
Right, carry on, Josh. I'll mute my mic while I'm in person.
Man, there's a lot of DC talk today. I'm loving this. Mm. Thanks for the welcome back party, guys. Mm. All right, well, we get... Animal Man Annual number 2, and this, you know, still dealing with, you know, Buddy, you know, kind of dealing with the death of his son.
Get over it already, man.
Hey, man, this is an emotional issue.
Oh, yes, okay.
I know, it's only his son, right? You know, it's a big deal
or anything. I'm a cold-hearted son of a bitch. Is there blood and guts in this book, or what?
Well, I mean...
Just a little?
I don't know about all that, but pretty much it's a kind of a flashback to when his son was alive before the whole Rot World stuff was going on. So we actually get to see him again in costume, which, I mean, really, you haven't seen him in costume very much in the whole relaunch. So it's kind of a cool thing. You know, he's with his son, they're going to the grocery store, and, you know, some kind of stuff starts going down, and, you know, Buddy goes down into this sewer, and there's these kind of spiders all over the place, and he runs into this, or Spider Queen is what she's called, and basically, you know, she's looking out for her kids, all these little spiders, and they feed off of dreams, and they kind of have, like, Buddy's son... And they're feeding off of his dreams and all this kind of stuff. And he doesn't fight her, which was kind of cool. You know, he talks his way out of the situation and convinces her that, you know, I'm just looking out for my offspring as you're looking out for your offspring sort of thing. And, you know, ends up saving the day, saving the city, convinces her to kind of go off somewhere else and feed off of other kind of dreams besides, like, that of humans. And, you know, then we kind of flash back to the present and, you know, Buddy's in a convenience store and, you know, sees all these headlines and tabloids about, like, his son's death, and he just kind of freaks the fuck out and goes nuts. And eventually kind of goes back and seeks out this Spider Queen again and, you know, asks if she remembers him, and then you get the big... tears start coming down at this point in the issue. You know, he asked, like, what was the dreams that they were taking from his son, like, all those years ago, and it was, like, hanging out with his dad and all this kind of stuff. So I would be happy if, you know, that was kind of the end of all the stuff dealing with his son, because it was kind of, like, the perfect little, like, throwback thing to it, so I really enjoyed it.
Sounds to me like they're trying to break him. It's not cool.
Yeah.
What I liked about her as well is, and this is something Joshua didn't mention, I'm not sure if you realize, it's got Travel Foreman back on art, who was the artist on Animal Man for about the first 12 issues or so.
Yes.
So it was really, only for the annual.
Oh, okay. Okay.
But it was really good to see him and Lemire back doing some Animal Man stuff, especially when he was in costume as well. It was pretty cool.
Yeah.
So what were?
I enjoyed it. I liked the Spider Queen. I thought she was kind of a cool character.
Sounds fucking depressing to me. I'm sorry. I feel sad.
It's kind of heart. It's more heartwarming if anything.
Really?
Yeah. So at the end, it is when he's like when his son's dreams were like him and his dad, just, you know,
hanging out,
doing stuff, doing papa some things.
That's cute.
Emotions, you know, Eric.
Emotions. Fuck.
Yeah. And I like, too, there was this one little, there's this one little page, I kind of remember, and it was like, you know, he was kind of going in to, like, save somebody, and one of the people standing by made some comment like, oh, I don't need, like, a D-list hero to kind of come save the day or something like that. Love when they do those little kind of make fun of the character things.
I always thought Animal Man was quite powerful. He just was never smart enough to use his powers. Full efficiency, I found. Like, you know, you'd only pick one. Until recently, they started doing stuff like that. I think that began in, not Countdown, but 52.
Okay.
With the space stuff, yeah, you know? Yeah, because he's in space, and he's like, there's no fucking animals out here. Next thing you know, he's like this wild Thanagarian owl thing. He's like, whoa, there's some animals out here. And he's pretty powerful. And I'd like to see some more Animal Man in space. That would be a good idea, you know? Overcome with the grief of the death of his child, he escapes it all. Takes off.
Whoa.
Eh?
Whoa. It sounds crazy to me.
Oh, it sounds like... You never read 52, Josh?
No.
Oh, it works, man.
He's really good in 52.
Oh.
I do have to say. I'm still working my way through it, but Animal Man is pretty cool in 52.
Man, I kind of want to reread that. It's a good read. It's long, but it's good. And you got, like, some of the biggest names in the business writing it. Can't...
Really?
Yeah, they all took, like, a couple of the characters. Just like Mark Waid.
Hello.
Hello? Grant Morrison? Who else is there? Greg Rucka?
What time?
Tony's on the phone. Tony's on the phone.
You know, isn't that really Night Professional just taking the call?
Yeah, what's up with that? You can't even put us on hold, man.
I need to eat as well. What are you laughing at?
Are you? This is awesome.
No, why?
What pub are we going to tonight, boys?
You think he's at least muted all night, can you?
What are you two doing while you're on the phone to me?
Oh, he's listening to
it. Are you getting food when you're out, or are you eating before?
I thought you said he was getting a blow.
All right, okay, because I was just going to have something in the fridge.
What? Put it in the fridge? The salami? Mm. Is she that cold, man? See, okay. Anyways, what were we talking about? Animal Man. What did you rate that?
Yeah. I give it a 6.
Give it a 6? Okay. Nope. I'd ask Anthony, but he's too busy listening to his friend get a blowjob on the phone.
All right. Right. Sorry about that, guys.
No problems. No, it's quite entertaining. I'm sure it'll speak a highlight of the year.
Yeah, my brother phoned me.
Who was your brother? Oh, even better.
Why? Oh, would you not just talk? I'm going to have to listen to the show now to hear what you're saying.
You are.
Yep.
Kyle, it's your turn, big guy.
Yeah, actually, before he starts, I actually have to leave now.
Oh,
that's what he was phoning me for.
What?
Oh.
Your brother snaps his
I'm sorry. You can just carry on without me. I haven't got anything else to talk about anyway, so it's good timing, really.
Right. I better hear a bar story about this, then. If you're leaving early, then you gotta have a good bar story next time.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, I need to eat something before I go out, or I will just be, like, sleeping.
How many beer do you drink?
I'm not going to fall asleep. That was the one time thing I fell asleep in a bar. One time, because I was tired.
Uh-huh. And you post a picture of it on Skype.
Because it's a good picture. I like the picture.
Okay. It's good to see you.
Now. Anyway, bye.
Okay, yeah,
bye, guys.
See you, man.
I'm hanging out. Okay, bye.
Fucker. Okay, Kyle, it's your turn.
We can now talk about the button behind his back. But anyway, I'd like to go back to the superior company that is Marvel.
Okay.
And talk about Guardians of the Galaxy number 5.
Oh, whoopty fuck. I was a little disappointed in that one myself.
And I think, I don't know why, but I'm kind of more excited for Infinity. Mm-hmm. No, it was one of those things where Infinity's happening, mm-hmm. whatever. If it turns out to be cool, it's cool, whatever. But I wasn't like, yes, Infinity's coming.
I kind of am.
It'll be cool. I'm sure it will be.
I hope so.
Better than whatever crap's coming out of some other company.
It's fucking better than Age of Ultron and Fear itself.
Oh, God. Oh, why? Can we just stop reminding me
about
Fear
another Secret
itself?
Invasion epic story, like, you know? And I think
it's not going to happen. We're going to be stuck with things like Fear itself and Age of Ultron and AVX where Marvel keep building event to event.
This is our first Hickman. Event, okay? This is gonna blow minds. Either it's going to be like a Grant Morrison Final Crisis. Either people are going to understand it, or they're not at all. I think it might be good. Anyway, sorry.
Tinder. Well, okay. Well, anyway, this is when they first announced Angela. Mm-hmm. They also said about how Neil Gaiman was going on to co-write Guardians of the Galaxy with Bendis, but he's kind of not now. It's not really clear how much of involvement Gaiman has had on this issue itself, because he's only down as a consultant now.
It's probably line approval.
You
know what I mean?
Anything with Angela, you know, if it's not right.
Yeah.
I don't know. But basically, it is one of those. And it's more of following what happened in the last issue to an extent, mm-hmm. where it's just nothing. As far as Tony and all those, it's not really anything that happens for them, but it's just mainly for our Star-Lord.
Mm-hmm.
He's basically running around on some alien planet looking for somebody's help to help him with this flashback that he had, which is slowly going through pretty much all the Infinity books or just the general Marvel books, where obviously because of Age of Ultron,
because of the time quake, yeah.
So now everyone's seen something, and Peter Quill's one of the mm-hmm. one of them. They've seen some messed up flashback or flash forward or whatever. Mm-hmm. So he's going looking for this girl that he's probably hooked up with on this planet. And she can normally read minds and find out what the root of this problem is. She isn't much help.
Nope. I recall.
Up until to where they both are aware of, if she can't help, there's only one person that can help them. And of course, it's not a spoiler, because he's the one Infinity is he's doing something with Infinity, and it's Thanos. To which,
right,
it's more of now I think it kind of makes it a bit of a hint that Peter Quill's going to kind of agree with Thanos
uh-huh.
about what's happened, because again,
you think so?
This happens because of Earth. This is Earth trying to be bigger than it is, mm-hmm. and it's messed up with the timeline, and everyone's going to find out, and everyone's going to go gunning for it. So it's one of those things where it's their own damn fault as usual.
Gotcha. Yeah,
and it's toys up with, oh, Angela's here.
Mm.
You see her for a little bit, and it's a little bit, but they don't have a clue who she is. There's no record.
Nobody knows her. Yeah,
anything. All that they know for sure is that
she's tough.
Wait, yeah, Gamora versus Angela. Oh god,
that should be good. Awesome. That should be a good fight.
Yeah, of course.
I would like that. Yeah, I found it was more of a prelude. Like, it kind of, the last two issues kind of took a slowed right the fuck down. You know, it's like they're making room for this, but the cosmic part needs to be integral to this epic event, I guess. It's the push, right, for the movie. I mean, it's got to be part of it, I think.
The movie?
Yeah, the Guardians of the Galaxy movie that they're...
Oh, Guardians, yeah.
You know? Anyways. Yeah, I don't know. I always kind of felt very lackluster about it. There's a little bit of progression in the book. Pacelli did the art, right? Amazing.
Yeah.
Chick's amazing.
Yeah, cool.
Wow. One of the best female artists I've ever seen, to be honest with you. I'm assuming, you know, if your name's Sarah, you're a girl. What would you rate that book, Kyle?
I'd give it a 5. I liked it as well.
5 spare.
The banter between Rocket and Tony as well.
Tony's such a schmuck in that book, man. Such a schmuck.
What was it? He made a joke about... He made a reference about how his dream was to eventually have sex.
Yeah, no, the Star Trek reference. Yeah, that was good. More Bendis, though. I mean, Bendis is, he's always been kind of funny like that, I found. Whether it was an Ultimate Spider-Man or Avengers, New Avengers. Anyways. Okay, I guess we're back to me, because motherfucking Anthony left. I picked another Image comic. I talked about this before, and, you know, I hate to beat a dead horse, but this 10 grand is another, man... Read the trade. You know what I mean? Like, wait for the trade or let these books stack up. This book actually has a previously in, so you don't have to. It helps. It's Ben Temple Smith on art. You can't knock Ben Temple Smith. But I mean, it's by JMS, and everybody has their opinions about JMS. I liked JMS. I have no problems with anything he did except for the Grounded Superman, which sucked. This last issue, issue 4, was awesome. I don't know. There's just more. This world's getting more and more developed. This guy's like a high-tech Constantine almost. I think I told you guys, like, whenever he dies, he gets to spend 5 minutes with his soulmate in heaven. Or so they're told it's heaven. It might not be heaven. It could be limbo. Anyways, the bad guys are fucking following him around, and he fucking dies, and he goes and sees his old lady, and the bad guys find out where she is, and they steal her.
Oh, no.
So the next time he dies and he shows up there where she's not going to be there, he's going to be freaking the fuck out. So far, so good. I think this book would read really good in trade. Like I read issue 3 and 4 together this week. And
who's writing it?
J. Michael Straczynski.
Oh, okay.
So I just JMS'd it.
Now I remember that Superman you referenced.
Yes,
that's
some shit. Anyways.
Yeah.
I mean, I've come back to Superman. Like, what does he care? He knew things were going to get rebooted, so he's like, let's fucking try this. If nobody likes it, big fucking deal.
Well, it's not really, it doesn't matter anyway, because it's not Superman anyway. It's not that universe's Superman regardless, so he was always going to be able to do whatever he wanted.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Anyways, I recommend this 10 grand because when I read 3 and 4, it kind of had a pace. The pace started to pick up for me. Like I was getting, I don't know, what do you call that? Suspenseful.
Exciting.
Suspenseful and exciting, yeah. Yes. I got to give it that. I rather enjoyed it. I put it down and I was like, huh, cool, man. Very much like that. Yeah, so if you like Ben Temple Smith, if you like JMS, if you like weird techno Constantine type stories, check out 10 grand. I will give this a 6.
Ooh.
You can't give it a 7 because
you're very generous today.
I am very generous today. I have a boner for Image Comics this week, I guess.
Yes.
There's some good stuff out there when it comes to Image. Somebody was talking about how many all age books does Image do? Well, they do a lot more in the big two. Like
what's all ages?
Like Super Dinosaur, Robert Kirkman.
Okay.
There's G-Man, Chris Caruso. There's a whack of shit there anyways. Anyways, I don't want to debate about all ages comics because I'm old and I like comics that are blood and guts. All right, I guess we're getting close to Josh again. Got one more quick one, man?
Yeah, I just...
What?
I really don't want to talk about this really until it's kind of wrapped up, but I did want to touch on Trinity War just briefly.
Yeah, what's with the fucking break here? I'm not digging this shit. They give me three issues in 3 weeks and then nothing for two? Like, what?
Yeah, I know. It's frustrating to me. I feel like, well, I mean, there's a couple tie-in issues.
That Pandora shit?
Yeah, Pandora, which I feel is a little more vital to the story, but then there's, like, the Phantom Stranger, and I feel like that's not really as integral to the story.
See, I'm not reading those, so I'm going to find out if they are integral or not.
Yeah, because, Constantine had a tie-in as well, but I prefer that it is strictly as... All I need to have read is the main title.
Exactly.
It adds a bit
and
more
I
back.
And I think you're going to at the end of the day.
All right, good stuff.
Because Pandora, I personally like the Pandora ones. I thought they were just kind of interesting, a little backstory. It was fun. Maybe if you know somebody that picked it up, read it. But you don't need to spend the money on it if you don't have to.
Right on.
But I'm interested to see what's going to happen. I mean, I'm hoping the story ends up being cool. I mean, I feel like it's an event, but it's really just like the prequel to the real event with the Forever Evil.
Which, if anyone's interested, it's been revealed about what's happening with Forever Evil, the backstory, and you can look it up.
Oh,
but I'm not going to say what it is if nobody...
We've known this for a while, though, with the crime syndicate. I mean, most people figure
it out.
There you go. Right?
Yeah. If you didn't know, now you know now.
Well, I mean, it's kind of not... It's a little bit of a no-brainer for us older readers, I think. But yes, maybe. No, he's right. They have revealed what the current guys are going to do. It should be interesting.
I don't know. I mean,
we'll see.
It'll be interesting. It's going to be expensive.
Are you gunning for some of them lenticular 3D covers?
I am.
Good luck, brother.
I'm a sucker for that.
Watching a few comic shops right now. And they're not getting what they ordered.
I'm only really interested in the Dark Side one.
Yeah.
And I think Scott Snyder's only writing like one of them, so I'll read that one. But apart from that, Forever Evil will just pass me. And it'll be cool, because I don't have to spend as much money that month. Mm.
Well, if you guys do find those 3D covers, I would scoop them, man. I think they're going to be hard to find. I think that you could flip those books for megabucks later on. Come.
Yeah. I agree. I mean, I usually get them. I ordered some of them off this site, like as an advanced order, so I'm hoping that.
Oh, I wonder how that works with a site order, because I know the comic shops are getting maybe 25% of what they ordered.
But you know what? I could kick myself because I didn't, you know, I did it for a lot of the titles, but I didn't do it for any of the freaking Justice League titles, and now I'm kicking myself because I can't go back.
Well, you can get regular cover.
Yeah, I'm going to have to.
Most people are going to end up with regular cover, I think.
Yep.
I don't know. I expect to walk into the shop and see all the 3D covers on the wall for $30 to $40 a pop.
Yeah, you're right. And a problem? I know. Hopefully, I'm getting the 3D covers and not just the regular covers with the advance order. But
weren't they supposed to all be? At some point, they were all going to be 3D covers, and now they've backtracked on it.
Yeah, because they couldn't fill the orders.
Surprise, surprise. Shocking. Let's just have it's released way too many, not way too many, but it's just like release 1 billion books that month and make them all 3D because everyone's going to, all the shops are going to want to buy books that they don't think they'll be able to sell.
Yeah, I agree.
I don't know, man. I don't understand their reasoning for how they're allocating these books. Like, I don't get it at all.
I thought it was just under variant logic of how they're doing it. I don't know.
Whatever. I think it's going to bomb for DC. I think a lot of people are going to be mad at DC about it, especially the shops. You know, DC could give a shit about the customers. Like, no offense. No offense. I don't think they do. They don't give a fuck about us. They care about the shops because the shops are the one who buy the bulk of the material. You know, they're not getting our dollars. The comic shop gets our dollars. Then DC gets the comic shop's dollars, right?
Exactly. In this day and age, I don't understand why you can't just go to dccomics.com and order your shit from the site and have it mailed to you.
Like subscription style. That would make too much sense, I think.
Yeah.
Mind you, man, you got to look at freight prices. The way the freight prices are in North America right now, it's not plausible to be doing shit like that. Do you know what I mean? Like, it costs $10 to send something to the States now, or from the States to Canada.
Yeah.
Dude, that's ridiculous. It's like four times the price that it used to be 2 years ago.
Yeah, but it should be too, though, if you reach a certain, like if you say, hey, you know what, I don't want my books the day they come out, let's, you know, accumulate them over time to where I get to $75-$100 worth of material, then it's shipped for free.
But who wants to fucking wait? Dude, I did that for years. I get my books once a month. Yeah. And you want to talk about books blurring together? Like, you read 4 weeks worth of comics in a day and a half, you don't. You lose a lot of information.
Because you're going back to back.
I used to do that all the time, and it's not as much fun as it sounds like.
Yeah.
Anyways, back to Trinity War. I enjoyed the first three issues. Didn't need to buy the Constantine comic. I enjoyed it, though, because it's Shazam. Other than that, you're saying these tie-ins don't seem integral to it?
It doesn't seem to me.
When does part four come out, do you know?
I think this week? I think this week is Justice League of America.
Okay.
But you know what? I'll tell you what. I enjoyed the first one. But I felt like the whole, I guess, fight scene just seemed to be too convenient how it you know, set up.
Mm-hmm.
But then when Justice League of America came out, the second issue, that one I was just really impressed with. You know, we have Superman kind of just like caged up and seeing Bruce kind of talk to him like as a friend, and then
he looks poisoned too, you know?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. No, I agree. And then you have like Wonder Woman who's on this quest of love, which
somebody's fucking with my old man. I'm gonna stab him.
Yeah. I still can't get over like, it's just so weird to me that like seeing them as an item.
It doesn't seem weird to me. It just, like it's been said a lot, it makes sense, I suppose, it does make just sense to me. Mm-hmm. I hate Lois Lane. That might be more, but
yeah.
And I think it does come out this week. Yeah, Justice League of America comes out this week.
Sweet.
Yeah.
All right.
But then I loved at the end of Justice League of America, because I'm like, okay, getting the League of America and the regular Justice League together seemed to be too much of a coincidence, but it was really cool how they brought in the Justice League Dark.
Mm.
So I liked it. I thought the first three impressed me, so.
Hmm. Okay. I think I talked about Trinity War in the last episode, but you weren't here. Can't remember what I rated it, but
superior. So
yeah, right. What would you rate the first three parts there, Josh? Then?
God, that's I would say like a 5.5-6 kind of range.
That's a little wishy washy. Pick a number, man.
Six.
Okay. That's acceptable. I can't knock that. I mean, it's not horrible. It seems to be very self-contained, but like you said, it's the prelude for Forever Evil, and I guess maybe that's where the beef is. Maybe.
Yeah.
We'll see.
We'll see.
All the raging customers who didn't get their 3D lenticular covers. Kyle, you got one more quick one, man?
Yeah, I think I shall. Just quickly, where the hell is it? Oh God, I can't remember which one it was now. Just quickly, off from memory. All New X-Men 15.
Is this the one with Jean Grey and the Beast? The last issue?
Yeah, this is Anthony's favorite book of the week, obviously because he's got his favorite artist, David Lafferty. I think what I call him.
Lafuente.
Lafuente,
man, that guy does not suit the book at all. Like, the whole fucking issue felt like ultimate something.
It makes everybody look younger. Like, and he's kind of established that, what, they're like early teens, if anything, but they look like they're just getting out by 9 or 10. It looks weird. Just in general, it's one of those Bendis books where it's in between arcs. Obviously, Battle for the Atom is coming up next. Mm-hmm. So, it's just one of those, this happens. If you've not read it, feel free to skip it. The only thing that really happens here is Beast, older Beast, gets his mind read by Jean, who finds out that she was, that Beast was in love with her, but she's not in love with Cyclops.
This is true. And then they made out. Yeah. And then it was over. And I was like, fuck. I don't know. I didn't really enjoy the issue. I mean, like, I don't understand how this shit's gonna, like, fuck. Even if they do get sent back, you know, they're gonna have to be mind wiped.
I was under the assumption that was gonna happen anyway.
Well, I'm also thinking that they're never going back. They're gonna keep them around here. So, like, what is alternate dimension X-Men then? It's maybe
wibbly wobbly timey wimey.
There you
stuff.
Go.
I go under any logic as if it is anything time travel related. If it doesn't follow Doctor Who time laws, it's wrong. Doctor Who's a definitive time travel laws. Okay. But there's also that thing that I didn't really think about before. It depends on how long they stay for. But obviously, if they get too old, it's going to be weird if you just directly send them back anyway, even if they do mind wipe them.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's not like, he may be in a wheelchair, but he's not blind. Mm-hmm. So he might be able to tell the difference. Professor X might be able to tell that something's gone wrong there.
Ah, unless Jean maintains her powers and blocks all that from him.
But then, so she doesn't have to do it with everyone, because not everyone's that stupid. Or is it only just them at that point? Nobody else at the school at that point, is it? So yeah, they could probably do that.
Possibly. Yeah. Anyways, that's quite the book, I tell you. What would you rate that?
Give it a 4.
Yeah.
You know what I don't like about this episode is that it feels like this is the episode where Kyle hates everything.
Okay.
You really think about it now. Apart from Guardians, didn't like Batman Inc. I would have ended up saying I didn't like Flashpoint, apart from Thomas Wayne.
That's fine. You don't like Josh. I mean,
I don't like you. Yeah,
fucking dorks.
Screw Detroit. That's what was deleted from the last issue episode. I was censored.
Right. Nah, flush twice. It's a long way to Liverpool. I mean Manchester or whatever, man.
Manchester. Don't ever confuse Manchester with Liverpool.
I know it's
Liverpool
two different places.
It's a dump. That's why I don't want you confusing it.
You know what I read in the news last week is you guys have like the biggest sewer systems in the world, and they took out a 15-ton grease ball out of the sewer.
London.
Yeah, something like that. That's just gross, dude. Like, what the fuck?
Yeah, London is a dump. This is the information I already know.
Like, who's pouring the? Why are you pouring all the grease down the drain? I don't get it.
Because people are stupid.
No shit. Like, what if that thing fucking came to life and broke through the concrete? You'd have 15 tons of fucking bacon grease killing everybody.
That's nasty.
That is nasty. Could you imagine that in a sewer, man? Mmm.
Oh, Manchester.
Yeah, Manchester.
I love your bacon grease.
Oh, yeah. You got to remember, though, their food, they actually have real food more than, you know, our corn fucking induced food that we have here.
Well, they just go over there and they just play soccer and eat bacon grease all day.
Yeah,
so
that's got to be it. They just shit straight bacon grease.
Oh, yeah,
it's not soccer, it's football. Okay, I'm going to stop this right now. We're just pissing off Kyle. All right. Good stuff, boys. This one will be up tomorrow.
Well, yeah, follow me on Twitter, at Just Kyle Mack. Don't follow Josh, he sucks.
That's not his Twitter handle. It's Josh Raj.
I offered the truce, Kyle, but you didn't want to take it. So
I don't know, because I'm right. Why should I have a truce?
Do you even know what we're fighting about?
Yeah. Have you ever?
I don't know how it started, man. Only next week, anyway.
Kill.